If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
John Williams here. About mantras, you know, everybody's got all of these clever sayings to help them get through life, and they really roll out after the first of the year. John, my mantra has always been, it always works out. Doesn't always work out the way you want it to, but it always works out. 630, John, my mantra states, when you must, you can. If I determine I must do something, it helps me straighten my spine and take it on. Thanks for asking for the mantra. John, my mantra is, I can do anything until my 2026 retirement. John, my mantra or advice is, even if you have to dig deep, there is always something for which to be grateful. I'm not in control of the stupid coming from someone. I am in charge of how I respond. We'll get to more of those a little later on. That all got started because I quoted a friend of mine who over the weekend said that a helpful saying for him is to not say, I have to do something, but rather I get to do something. And he used as the example exercise. Don't say, I've got to go for my jog or walk or to the gym or I got to go to do what I got to do. Say, I get to do that. Lucky me. I don't know if that works. It's worth a try.
I get to have a colonoscopy next month.
Well, okay. But I mean,
yay me.
First of all, they're not nearly as bad as advertised. Mm. And number two, oh, really? That was, I'm just trying to make a point here. And also, how fortunate for you that you have this opportunity to ensure that your health is
yes.
good.
Yes, blah, I agree.
Blah, blah, blah.
I agree.
It's 11:13. Mr. Fix-It Lou Manfredini joins us now. You hear him Saturdays and throughout the week on WGN. Hi, Lou.
You know, the first time I went to a colonoscopy, I was all nervous, and I'm sitting there, and this woman goes, hey, you're Lou Manfredini. I go, yeah. She goes, we went to high school together.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It's going to be really hard to get that thing where it has to go.
Really? Wow. Wow.
That was funny.
How are you, Lou?
I'm good. Happy New Year.
Hey, I mentioned that your wife and sister-in-law were at the Bulls game for the Derrick Rose ceremony.
My wife was floating on cloud nine. She said, my wife is a proud, raised in Chicago. She bleeds Chicago, you know, true and true. And she said it was one of the most Chicago moments. She said the energy in the building was palpable, and they had these amazing seats. They were very close to the floor, they were on the floor actually. Yeah. And they took our two sons, Massimo and Quinn, and then my sister-in-law Nora was the one that had gotten the tickets from a patient, and they just said it was amazing. And Derrick Rose was very well spoken, and Luol Deng was there, you know, a bunch of his former players, and she said that the place went nuts when Luol Deng stood up, and Joakim Noah said some wonderful, beautiful things about Derrick Rose and their time together. And it's nice to see someone celebrated, some local, you know, he's a local Chicago product and kid, and did well, and, you know, happy for him.
Yeah, yeah. I enjoyed your conversation with Andy Mazur on Saturday about that. And I said earlier in the show that I didn't sort of have a very good barometer for all of this. I knew it was coming. I didn't know it would be a big deal. And then after I heard everybody talk about it, I thought, of course it's a big deal. My son made a point to find tickets for the game and cried in the stands. And
yeah.
I was also happy that Derrick Rose was a good receiver of all of this, that he, you know, reciprocated to the degree that you can as the recipient of all of that praise, but that, you know, he would stand up for everybody in Chicago too. It was Grant said it was one of the best things he's seen Chicago do. It sounds like what Mary Beth said.
Yeah, and Quinn said, he goes, I could totally see, our son Quinn, I could totally see Derrick Rose. He didn't have any notes. He stood up and you know, said some really nice things and said, man, he would be an amazing motivational speaker, you know. And
that's so funny, Lou, because John, he's been shy. You know, he's a bashful guy.
He is, but you know what's funny is, you know, Derrick Rose has been out of the our limelight here, and the Bulls obviously haven't done that great over the last several years. But do you just, I mean, I know you remember, I mean, all of us, how electric that young man was when he was on the floor. It was like he was going, like he was shot out of a gun every time he had that basketball in his hand. And every game was just an amazing thing to watch.
And when he came back from that injury, I thought, every time he was landing in the lane, because he would explode into the lane, he'd be 8 feet above the hoop. He'd be in the air for about 20, 30 minutes. And I thought, and there's nothing but a tangle of legs and sneakers down there. And I thought, Derek, don't go there. But he would.
He was
fearless. He was strong.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that wraps it up. That's Lou Manfredini, our Mr. Fix-It. Hey, Lou, I'll take a quick break, and then I do want to talk to you about this. But a guy called in on your show Saturday, and if we ever do get snow, you and he were sharing a hack to make your snow shovel work more efficiently. Is that a fair description?
A hack? I don't remember that. I think you might have been listening to David's show.
Nope.
I don't remember that call.
No, I'll refresh your memory, and you tell me if I've got it right, okay? Also, questions are already in for Mr. Fix-It, who's got a list of things you need to be doing anyway. Somebody said, hey, Lou, should we put our furnace in the on position rather than the auto position during this cold weather? Lou Manfredini, our Mr. Fix-It, is on the line. By the way, Lou, we got this text from a listener who says, hey, John, I don't get the Derrick Rose thing. He had three decent seasons before he got hurt multiple times at last check. I have as many rings as him, and he's being made out to be MJ. 608, he's not being made out to be MJ. He's being made out to be Derrick Rose. They're different things, and we loved him for all he tried. I don't know why you would want to start the new year off with that negative thought. All right, Lou.
Yeah, that's not a good saying for the new year.
That's not be a blessing, now is it? Okay.
No.
Lou, I thought on your show on Saturday, a guy called in to thank you for putting linseed oil on the blade of his shovel, and I thought...
No. He put linseed oil on the handles of his shovels.
What does that do?
Well, so he had old wood shovels that had the factory finish had come off on, and I said... And I earlier had said, you know, if you use linseed oil, which is old school, it'll absorb into the wood and it'll revitalize that and add moisture oils to the wood to give it strength and have it look good. So he didn't put it on the blade; he put it on the handles.
Do people spray Pam or Neato or something like that on the blades of their snow throwers or shovels?
Yeah, there's a trick. There's a trick there that you can spray a little lightweight oil, and there's also you can buy. There's like a shovel wax. It looks like a bar of soap. And, you know, I mean, it's been so long since we've had snow that would stick to a shovel.
I know.
That, you know, it's hard to remember this stuff, but there is a snow shovel wax that's like a little, looks like a bar of soap, and you just rub it on there. And the whole idea is that it keeps it from sticking to the blade. But quite honestly, John, most of the snow shovels made now, that while there still are metal snow shovels made, most of it is like an ABS plastic, and it's super slippery, and it almost is like a non-issue for that.
Fair enough. Although we do have listeners in Kansas, Carbondale, Peoria, and Indianapolis.
A friend of mine has family in Kansas.
They got a foot or 2 feet of snow in parts of Kansas, half a foot in Indianapolis. Lou, one of our listeners said, should we put the furnace in the on position or auto position during this weather?
So if you have forced air, when you get down to the teens, when we have multiple days in the teens, the trick is to switch that thermostat to fan on.
Fan on.
Because your furnace is on, fan on instead of auto. So auto basically means that when the burner fires up on the forced air system, the fan kicks on, heats your home, shuts down. It's great. That's what you should do, you know, 80, 90% of the time. But when we get really, really cold, if you want to try and be more comfortable and lower the energy costs, if you go to that fan on switch, the blower will run constantly. Obviously, heat rises, so the second floor will be warmer, but the cold air returns will grab that, circulate through the system. It will make the house more even an even temperature, mm-hmm. and it will cause your burner on the furnace to run less. Now, people will say, oh, but then my blower motor is running too much, and that's bad for it. Electric motors, they just want to run. It isn't, it's not a thing. They just, once you get them going, they just go, and they use very little electricity. Your energy costs in what you pay to heat and cool your home has nothing to do with the blower.
Okay.
It has everything to do with the gas burners, and it has everything to do with the condenser outside when we're running the air conditioner.
And obviously, with it, this has been my concern. You've alleviated it now. With it on the on position, the thermostat is still engaged, right? So if you've got it set to 70
Correct.
Degrees, it'll know it's 69. It'll kick it up, even if it's not in the auto position.
100%. And the only reason that I make this recommendation when it's in the teens is that when it's a little bit warmer, you know, when we're in the 20s and 30s, where maybe, you know, there might be, you might go 15, 20 minutes where the furnace doesn't kick on because the house is holding the heat. You may feel a draft and not like that, but when it's really cold, it's really a non-issue.
So what about space heaters? Do you like those? And if you do, what kind?
I do like them if you have a part of the house that's cold that maybe you spend a lot of time in, because the tendency is like, oh, the house is so cold, I'm going to turn up from, you know, 70 to 72. Well, now I'm heating the whole house just because I need the living room to be a little bit warmer. And if you use a space heater, say, for the sake of argument, a 500-watt powered space heater, which will do a 300-square-foot room, we're not looking for it to heat the whole room. We're just looking for it to take the chill out. I'm looking for that space heater to get me two more degrees in that room. The cost to run that 500-watt electric space heater is about a nickel an hour. Okay, so this is not a big number.
Wow.
And you don't want to leave it unattended. You don't want it near flammables. You know, if you've got little kids, you've got grandkids, John, you know, you got to be mindful of that if you have them going. There is one, I have no connection to this company at all, that I love, that I use in my own home, from a company. It's called an Envy heater, E-N-V-I. I talked about this on Saturday. And it hangs on the wall. It is a convection heater, so it's like an electric radiator. You put two screws on the wall. There's a safety switch that is in the hole that you hang it on. So if for some reason it's not going to happen, but if it came off the wall, it would disengage. You plug it in. The 500-watt unit, as I mentioned, a nickel an hour to run, costs about $179. Hmm. And while it's one of these things that takes time, so if you put it in a room, you're not going to feel the heat right away because it's convection. It's like a radiator. In 24 hours, you will have that room at the precise temperature you want. It has a built-in thermostat. It turns on and off. It's amazing, and it's completely quiet.
I got 3 minutes left, less than that now. Your to-do list includes, hey, here's something you can do this week. Check all of the chairs in your home for missing felt pads to avoid scratches on the floor. I ran into this last week, Lou.
I know. I was doing the same thing. We, you know, we entertain a lot, and I was moving some furniture around, and I moved a chair, and it made a sound that I didn't like, and I flipped it over, and I'm like, son of a gun. And so, you know, those felt pads on the chairs, you'll scratch those floors. You entertain, you had a lot of people over, you know, maybe your Uncle Bill's a little heavier than the rest, and, you know, he's moving the chair back and forth. And so take the time to flip those things over, go get some new felt pads at the hardware store, and if they're worn out, just replace them all. Very inexpensive, very easy to do. Will save you a lot of heartache for the rest of the year.
It's a nice little project. That's one, Lou, to do. The other one was use a space heater for colder rooms instead of cranking it for the whole house. And finally, take down outdoor decorations. I think there's two kinds of people in the world, Lou, and that's those who are doing that now and those who are going to leave them up for a while.
Well, I'm one of those that I just came in from outside because that's what I was doing, because I was thinking, huh, what am I going to do today? And, you know, right now it's about, I think, 28 degrees or so, so it's not so bad. I got my little hat on and my coat and my gloves, and I'm slowly taking them down, and because it's going to get cold over the next few days, and you're going to miss out on an opportunity. You may not want to go out there, and I mean, at the very least, I suppose you could just, if you have lights, you could unplug them if that's what you want. I mean, I know a lot of people like to keep the lights on until the wise men show up, so that's pretty soon.
Yeah, right. Okay. This may be the last. And actually, it's not all that bad outside. The 20s
no.
are not single digits. So if you're going to take some outdoor stuff down, this might be a good loo to do day to do that. One last thing about space heaters in small rooms. Do you like the, you mentioned that Envy one that goes on the wall. Say I'm not going to do that. I've got one that looks like a little radiator. It has oil in there, and it's just kind of a passive radiator. And then another one that has a little fan and blows hot air. What are your thoughts about
that? The radiator one is very similar to the one I mentioned that hangs on the wall. It's just freestanding.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about the radiator one is that it heats the oil, and it acts like a radiator. So when it shuts down, that oil is still warm, and it's still generating heat. The fan-forced ones are the ones that will heat the space quicker. The only thing that I will tell you is that it does dry out the air as well. So adding a little humidifier, like a room humidifier, will also make you more comfortable.
That's Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini, your friend and mine. Hey, if you're listening to us in Indianapolis, drive up to one of his hardware stores. He's got plenty of snowblowers and shovels.
I do. And here's my saying, my perspective for you in the new year. I use it all the time.
Yeah.
Perspective is the great equalizer in life.
Say it again, Lou.
Perspective is the great equalizer in life.
Happy New Year, Mr. Fix-It. Thanks for joining us.
Happy New Year, my friend.
You can hear him on Saturday mornings, too, starting at 6.